If you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 11. In him we have obtained an inheritance. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. That is one of the most awesome statements in Holy Scripture. Just absolutely love that. And we heard a bit about it this week, didn't we? Today is a bittersweet day for me. As a matter of fact, approximately what time is it? What time is it?
10:28.
10:28, okay. Well, in about 30 minutes, 51 years ago, we began the funeral service for my father. 51 years ago, this very day, we laid my father to rest. And as most of you know, 6 days ago, my mom died. And so it's interesting that both of my parents died during Holy Week. I mean, during All Saints Week. Not Holy Week, All Saints Week. They were both saints of God, and somehow it seems appropriate. But the saints are not only those who have gone before us, my friends. We are the saints of God. Anyone who is in Christ is in the household of God, is in the body of Christ, and is a saint. You, my brothers and sisters, are the saints of God who are living today. Those like my parents are the saints who have gone before us. But we are all one body in Christ Jesus. The saints of God are one. And the saints of God build up his church. We are those saints, and it is for us to be about the business of building up the body of Christ, of building up the church. And we need each other desperately to do that. In this Ephesians passage, he twice uses the phrase, in him, in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance. And we have, in him, you also heard the word of truth. And I just saw a third one. And we believed in him. I didn't even notice that one before. In him, in him, in him, in Christ. That's where the saints of God dwell. And we live, we are, we exist for the praise of his glory. That's who we are. We live for the praise of his glory. And the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of that inheritance in the saints in light, to the praise of his glory. Now, Paul uses a phrase that is very important here. It's the household of God. He uses that a couple of times in his epistles. And the first time you'll see it is right here in Ephesians in chapter 2. He says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You, all of us, are no longer strangers and aliens. You're fellow citizens with the saints. Saints present, saints gone past, saints yet to come. And members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. It's very important to notice that this household of God is built on the apostles and prophets, which means that the household of God is the church. You cannot be a Christian apart from the body of Christ. You cannot be a Christian, an active Christian, a functioning Christian, a saint of God apart from the church, the household of God. We are the saints, and together we are the body of Christ. We are the household of God. Paul went on to instruct Timothy in this, and he says, I am writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. So Paul is emphasizing the centrality, the importance of us all being one and working together as one body in the church of the living God, the household of God. We heard reiterated numerous times in dozens of different ways through the week about our identity in Christ Jesus and how important it is for us to take our eyes off of the things of this world and keep our eyes firmly fixed on our identity in Christ Jesus. We get caught up in labels and outward appearances and worldly concerns. As a matter of fact, that's one of the questions that Father Mark Finley and I ask each other, you know, about being, allowing worldly concerns to distract us from our relationship with God. That's something we all need to be concerned about, is getting away from those earthly concerns and keeping the focus on Christ Jesus. For in Him is our identity. We are first and foremost brothers and sisters, children of God. We are in Christ. We belong to Him. Now, how that, one of the things we were talking about on the way home, it was nice to have a road trip with you guys. It was kind of fun. We did a lot of talking in the car, and that was cool. But one of the things we were trying to say is, okay, we heard all this, and we have heard all this before, and we know all of this, but how do you apply it? What do you do with all this great information we just got from 3 days of listening to the bishop? What do you do with it? How do you handle it? What do you do with this word from the Lord? Well, here's one practical application. If our identity is in Christ Jesus, then it really doesn't matter what worldly identity is placed on you. You know what? I'm not a Republican. That may come as a shock to you. And you know what? I'm not a Democrat. And you know what? You can call me whatever you want to, but my identity is as one who is in Christ. I am a Christian first and foremost because Christ paid the price for me. He has bought my redemption through His blood, and it is in Him that I find life. That's my identity. And you have that same identity. And so whether you vote Republican or Democrat, or whether you, no, it doesn't matter. And you know what? We can agree to disagree on the worldly things because we have the spiritual things in common. Amen? And that's not happening right now in the church. I had a person, and I shall leave this person nameless, who told me that if I voted for Joe Biden, then I really wasn't a Christian. Excuse me? Oh, that's it. Oh, I remember now. It's in Galatians chapter 7, verse 92. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Anyone who votes Democrat can't be a Christian. Whoa, wait a minute. It's not there. In the Athanasius. The point is that we can't, what makes us a Christian is Christ. And if I have my relationship firmly fixed in Him, I'm not going to be threatened by whatever it is that you are saying to me. And more importantly, I'm not going to say those kinds of things to you, because that brings your focus off of Christ and brings it down to this world. We need to be conscious of how we address one another in Christ, and how we encourage one another in Christ, and how we comfort one another in Christ, and how we counsel one another in Christ. You can discuss these things, but you must believe that it's okay to agree to disagree about the things of this world. Amen? That's practical application. Saints are not divisive. How do we know the saints? We know the saints because they exhibit the fruits of the Spirit. The love, the joy, peace, patience. That's one that seems to be a little hard to come by these days. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Amen. As Christians, we don't all look alike. We don't all act alike. We don't all do the same things. If we did, the church would be one funky-looking institution. I need you and your gifts. I was telling Dylan, it was so delightful to see Dylan up here today. What a wonderful thing. Here is somebody who has the gifts of God and he's using them today. And trust me, you're much happier with Dylan playing the drums than Bill playing the drums.
Bet you weren't even invited.
I wasn't. I was not invited. And so maybe I'll play the drums, Dylan, you come finish the sermon. Yeah. No, that's not how it works. We all need to use our gifts. We are uniquely created in Christ Jesus. And we need one another earnestly. We need to build one another up and encourage one another and just be supportive inside and out of one another. Each part of the body has a role. Each part of the body is uniquely equipped to do the work that God has called you to do in the place that he has placed you. In Ecclesiasticus, the passage that Miranda read this morning from Ecclesiasticus chapter 44, it talks about the people that you can remember in the Holy Scriptures. The ones who have gone before, who have left a name. But it also mentions that there are those who have not left their name, who you have no idea who they were, but they are equally important to the building up of the body. You may not know, you may never know who it was who saved the person who saved you. You see what I'm saying? You may never know who is important in the past, but that's not important. Christ knows. And Christ put that person there, maybe for the very purpose of bringing you into the household of God, into the kingdom of God. And so we give thanks for those who we don't even know. Isn't that awesome? And each of us, because we are uniquely created, and each of us, because Christ has equipped us uniquely for the task that he has given to us, has a unique identity in Christ, and therefore a unique perspective. And so we're not going to agree with each other on every aspect of our walk in the world. And we don't have to. We need each other. In Galatians, Paul says, "Let us now not grow weary of doing good. For in due season, we will reap the harvest if we do not give up." If we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. This is an exhortation to be encouraging to one another. When I was praying through this sermon this week, and I was thinking that the Lord was saying something about the spiritual gifts and the uniqueness of the spiritual gifts that he gives to each one of us, and the unique way he's calling us to use those gifts, I kept coming back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And chapter 12 talks about the spiritual gifts are given for the building up of the body. And in chapter 14, you have all of this stuff about the application of how to put the spiritual gifts to work. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. You're given the spiritual gifts for encouragement of others, for consolation of others, and for building up the body of all of us. The one who speaks in a tongue, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4, the one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. And that's good, because you're not going to be of much use if you're not built up in Christ. You need to be built up in Christ. And so it's a good thing to pray in a tongue, that you may be built up in Christ. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Builds up the church. And it doesn't have to be formal. You can just come up and put your arm around somebody and speak an encouraging word. That's prophetic, because it's coming from your relationship with Christ. And you're sharing that Christ relationship that you have in him with the other. And Paul says in verse 12, chapter 14, so with yourselves, since you are eager for the manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. The gifts are given not for your consumption, but for the building up of the church. All right. That's a lot of stuff. But we need each other. Bottom line, we need each other. Some people will say, you know, I just don't come to church because it's just not doing anything for me. Well, what are you doing for the church? You may need to be here not for what you get, but for what you give. And I'm not talking money. I'm talking spirit. Walk in Christ. We need one another. We are the one body in Christ. Our identity is in him. And again, let me remind you, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, for just as one, the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. There are many members of the body of Christ, and all the members are uniquely equipped by Christ for the ministry of his church. And in Romans chapter 12, he reiterates this, saying, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. We are members one of another. The saints of God, they build up the body. So let us rejoice as one, for we are all saints. Amen.